filtered water.
Yeah. I was thinking I'm going to have to get a permanent water filter for Violet, but the cats have always gotten filtered water.
Oh, yeah.
The water is shitty, and then I have galvanized pipes on top of it, which I did not know about. So, you know, whoever buys this house is going to have to replumb it, rewire it, redo everything, because the houses are, you know, 40 years old now.
I don't know anything about that.
Yeah, I know you don't know anything about that, but what do you do? What do you
says the guy with his house built in 79.
Yeah.
I don't know how old your house is, though.
I think I'm just, next time, I'm just moving on a trailer. I've had it. Before,
I still have the aluminum wiring because it was still legal to have that.
I hope you're kidding.
I am not.
My father loves to tell a story. The first time I went into one of those houses, he leased one that had the aluminum wiring. The first week they had it, one of the switches caught fire. And he was like, nope, done. Not happening. That's scary. Well, we're not here to talk about houses. We're here to say, howdy, folks, and welcome to another episode of the Dead Robot Society. I am Paul E. Cooley. Joining me, as always, Veronica Jaguar and Terry Mixon. I'd like to say your name, some sinister tale to it, because it just seems appropriate. No comment?
I'm not sure which one of us you're referring to.
Well, yeah. You're the one whose name I always say the tale to, not her. I don't have any beef with her. You and I, on the other hand, we have a long, storied in history beef. It's almost like a tragic romance.
A long, sordid history.
Can one actually be nemesis?
Nemesi?
If one side doesn't really recognize that there's a worthy conflict taking place?
Those are the best kind.
I wasn't aware that we had a thing going.
Well, that doesn't mean that it's not there. I don't really pay attention to it. It's just every time I see you, I go, it's Terry. Oh, my God.
It's like your thing you have with Jake Bible. Jake's like, Paul who?
When it first started, it was like, Jake who? I kind of miss that, actually. Well, what the hell have you two been up to? V, what have you been doing?
What have I been doing? The week's been a blur. Sorry. Let's see. Writing? Right. Still outlining, because I'm waiting to hear back from some authors for some work that I've done. So I try not to record if I don't have the go-ahead. So, such is life. So outlining and ferrying children where they need to be and living in a bowling alley. What to do.
You're back to living in a bowling alley. So when you hang out there, do you like pitch a tent? Do all the parents just like have tents they pitch at the, you know, in front of the ball thingy or back of the ball thingy?
The ball return?
Yeah, that thing.
No, because if you're not a coach, you're not allowed in front of, you're not allowed in the players' circle.
So you guys camp in the snack bar? Is that what you're telling me?
Where they have bad nachos and worse coffee.
I bring my own chair and my clipboard and I sit and keep score.
You're so boring. You have all these opportunities to live a really exciting life and you're just boring.
I know. I hang out with you guys on the weekends. What the hell?
Well,
although, to be
you
fair,
got old.
Really? That's where you're going?
Well,
really?
Yeah. The reason why one of the reasons why I asked her at 20 bucks, you know, to join the show is she had finally reached the minimum age.
You are just digging yourself deeper. The first rule is when you find yourself in a hole, stop digging.
But that's still fun.
First of all, I would like you to know that one of my kids is filling out college applications and he was like, yeah, this mom, this one wants to know how many degrees you have. I have 3. Really? Yes. Oh, when did you get them? I don't know. I'm literally scrolling through Facebook to find the post to figure out what month and year, because unfortunately the last 5 years in higher education is a horrible blur. And I'm like, oh, okay, so it was that year and that year? I have a picture on my phone of you in a tutu at that release party, so you better watch it, Cooley.
It's old news. Everybody's seen that. Everybody's already used it to scare the lawn gnomes out of their yard, so it's not really that big of a deal.
Are you sure?
Because yeah, I'm pretty sure.
It's two-tiered. It's almost like a tutu bikini.
All right, now, Paul, I'm afraid that it's time for an intervention.
What are you talking about?
it's okay if you want to go ahead and, you know, come at me and you know, have a fight with me. Going after Veronica, I've got to protect you from yourself here, buddy. Because she is way outside your league as far as combatant status here, all right?
She will
take you out.
Oh. Well, that was supposed to be dramatic, but it made no sound.
Paul, did you just dislocate
a character sheet with your name on it?
My knuckles air farted. It was just not good.
Did you just dislocate a knuckle while trying to look tough?
Probably. All right, those worked. I have one that's completely bent. You're right. I shouldn't choose a weaker adversary. So who else are we going to get on the show?
If we're looking to get somebody that's in your league, JR, I think is about it.
Wow. That's scraping the bottom of the barrel. So we know what's up with V. What is going on with T?
Oh, my God. Every time I try to write, there's an appointment to do something else coming up. It's just seemingly impossible. I've managed writing, but oh my gosh, I wish my life was a little bit more under control. I really do.
We're going to get to that. So basically, you're just getting frantic, frenetic craziness is what you're telling me.
Yeah, had to take Houdini to the vet today because he's got a hot spot, and that pretty much wrecked my writing time. Mm. I have a problem. If
only one.
This is a big writing problem. If I don't have enough clear runway to actually write, then I kind of tend to blow it off. I want to just not do it if I don't feel like I can finish it. And that's a problem for me because, you know, deadline's coming up. Got a book to finish. It would be easier if I hadn't, you know, spent 3 weeks earlier during this book doing cat trees and moving
slacking,
treadmills and
slacking,
doing other things.
Slacking.
This is
slacking.
Just, this book has been a huge pain in my ass. Oh, look. William West says, interesting topic. Writing problems like Terry's talking about. That's amazingly enough the show that we're going to do today.
Will we stay on topic? Who knows? But...
All right, let me get to mine then real quick, and then we'll dive into your myopia, your lack of imagination, all the habits we need to break you out of.
I'm pretty sure that myopia is not a lack of imagination.
That is one of the alternate definitions.
It's bad sight, isn't it?
Exactly. Mm. We'll get to that in a minute.
All right.
God. Yeah, Squirrel is right. What the hell am I doing? Extinction's over 117K. I don't know where the hell the ending of this book is, but I think I'm getting there. So new estimate is for 140, 150. We'll see how long that gets back.
Whatever you say, Brandon.
Yeah, I know. Hey, I got a lot of shit to do. What do you want from me? It took, 15 grand just to get through the prologue, if you know what I'm saying. So I'm fixing that up and going to get it back in the recording chair. And... other than that, not a whole lot going on, I don't think. Besides podcasting and dealing with you two. Which brings us to today's topic, which is the Slackathon that's been going on. I mean, the utter Slackathon that has been going on in Terry's life. Now, before we get to why Terry's been slacking and everything else, I want Terry to describe to us a non-slacking day.
A day where I am able to do my writing the way I want. I'm one of those people that goes to bed late and wakes up late. So it's midnight-ish by the time I'm going to bed, maybe a little bit later. And I'm up at 9 o'clock in the morning. That's the way my circadian rhythm just seems to flow. So I still get a good amount of sleep. It works for me. Maybe an hour of eating breakfast, doctoring the cats that need doctoring, getting everybody fed, and then I get into my writing, and the goal is to write and get a finished chapter done by the end of the day, which hopefully will be about 3 o'clock by the time I'm done so that I'll have time to do other things.
Okay, quick question. How do you write?
Maybe you should be more specific in that question.
How do you get your words recorded?
I sit down and I dictate the chapter.
In other words, you have to get in front of the microphone to do your in front of the computer to do it.
Yes.
Okay.
And then when I'm done with that, it gets a full pass through that same chapter before I'm done with it. So it's not just I'm writing it. I'm giving the pass to clean up the dictation errors and rearrange how I like people to be talking so that it's the way I want it.
Okay.
Which, weirdly enough, takes about the same time as dictating the chapter.
Aha! Okay. We get to that.
Okay. He's had a revelation. I'm okay. not, or so, or maybe he has gas. I'm not sure. Something like that.
Okay. So you're saying that you're pretty much wake up, you've got an hour of whatever, coffee, mm-hmm. coffee and et cetera time.
Yeah.
And then you've got 6 hours, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., in which you...
That's 5 hours, but yes.
Okay. Yeah. Lunch breaks. People do that.
And I do take a lunch as well, so yeah.
Okay. Which is a good thing. How many words is a chapter?
Anywhere from 3,000 up to 5,000. It's variable. Sometimes it's even shorter than that, but it's... A good estimate in this book so far, it's been about 3,000 has been the average.
So we're looking at 1,000 to 1,500 words an hour if we mm-hmm. assume that you write for the first three-ish hours.
Couple of hours, yes.
Okay. And then break for lunch, and then your afternoon is spent editing.
Editing those same words, yes.
How long does it take you to get prepped for recording?
Once I'm done with the morning eating of breakfast, making sure the cats are all doctored, I'm right to it.
How long does it take you to set up to record? Just
60
basically
seconds?
Get in front of the computer? Okay.
Sit down in front of the computer?
Well, I don't know what you have to do it. That's why
I don't.
I'm asking
I just
questions.
Start the program and I go to town. It's no time at all.
Okay. All right. So, what do you think Dr. Cooley is going to tell you?
There is absolutely no way I can guess what's going to come out of your mouth, so I'll just let you tell me.
I believe it was Brandon Sanderson who said this. Strangely enough, people are complaining about him in chat or comparing me to him, and you stop that. I will never be, as much as I do not like what he writes about or anything else, he's a great writer, and I will probably never be able to, you know, be
what?
In his
You don't presence. Like Brandon Sanderson?
No,
his writing?
Really.
Okay.
Just not my thing.
All right. Taste is good. Taste is valid.
It's more of the genre he writes in and the fact that they're these epic monsters.
Oh, but, epic fantasy. This is more of your epic fantasy thing. I gotcha.
Yeah,
gotcha.
It's an epic fantasy thing, not a Brandon Sanderson thing. But what he said was he writes all day. And what he meant by that was he writes when he can. And what that means is the same thing that I did with Neptune Scars while my fucking everything was burning down between the car wreck, my mom and going to loop-de-loo and the hospital for 2 months, 2.5 months, and everything else that went on. The only way I got that goddamn book done was I sat down and write whenever I could. And that meant adding a sentence here. That meant adding a paragraph here. That meant just basically using three different ways to get it down. And it wasn't... I just had no choice. There was no other way to do it. And more than half the time, I wasn't in a place where I could really use a laptop. So I used notebooks. I used my iPad. I used whatever I could possibly do to get it down. And then I would go back and I would put it in if I had to do it manually, if I couldn't, you know, sync the documents up. It was, I'm stealing some time. And you have to be a thief.
Okay. I totally agree with what you're saying. The reason I dictate is because it's more than twice as fast as my slow-ass typing speed.
I know why that is. What I'm saying is, if you want to get the words, you'll get faster at it if you just do it. But even if it's just writing it with your clumsy fingers, just getting it down, a few thoughts here, a few thoughts there, a few sentences of dialogue, a few sentences of description, just little things like that, and you'll have the scene ready when you actually do have a chance to write it down the way you want to. But at least you will not be standing still, which is what you're complaining about, is you feel like you're standing still, and when you go back to it, Is it really hard to come back to it?
I'm not sure that I'm complaining that it's standing still. I'm more complaining that when I feel constrained time-wise, that my motivation to actually sit down and do what I can, like you're talking about, seems to vanish, seems to evaporate. So I may feel slightly different about that than what you're saying.
All right, well, fine. What I'm saying is when you're in waiting rooms, if you're waiting on something with Donna, if you're waiting on something for this, that, and the other, you just kind of have to steal the time.
Considering that she's going to be starting physical therapy soon, you know, I'm gonna have to come up with something to do.
Exactly. So I would say that the sooner you start thinking about that, probably the better. But yeah, I understand that. I took basically a month off while I was doing the contracting gig of writing. I just basically threw myself into what I was doing, and it wasn't working out. But I went ahead and just took that break. And then coming back to getting Extinction Roaring again, took a little time to do that.
I have Word on my phone. I have Dropbox on my phone. I may be able to use the dictation portion on the iPhone to go ahead and do some writing while she's doing her thing. And Chris says I need a laptop. I've had a laptop. It did not help me.
Yeah, there's some... We all get into, like, the perfect method for how you put down words. It's only perfect per person.
Yeah, pretty much.
Back before I started dictating, I would write when I had an opportunity on my phone while I was at work. I actually wrote a couple of novels on my iPhone at work during breaks and times there. So it has been done. I have written that way. It's just dictation is so much better for me as part of the writing process that I find myself resisting using the keyboard, even when I really would want, but better off doing it. So it's obviously a mental quirk that I have got to figure my way around.
Yeah,
it is. It is. I do the same thing with recording. If I know that there's a limited amount of time, I may or may not work toward the current recording project because I'm not going to be able to. I think for me, it's an unwillingness to do half the work when I know I need to do, like, you know, all of the work, and not wanting to do things
piecemeal.
That is a very important thing. I hate the idea of half doing something. If I feel like I can't do something and get what if I'm going to be writing a chapter, but I don't think that I can write that chapter, I don't like ending it in the middle. I really don't.
Yeah, no, I get that. Like, for me, an exercise, I don't look it, but I have a horrible gym habit, meaning that I like going to the gym. However, I dislike doing anything for like less than 40 minutes. I don't like doing half-hour classes because it's like, oh, it's only 30 minutes. Am I really going to get something out of it? So I will only go if I know I can get the full 55-minute dance class or the full 45-minute spin class. And like, oh, yeah, we're going to go to the gym, but we can only be there for a half an hour. Screw that. Why am I going to bother going?
I have got to ask this because I never really have an answer in my head. What the hell is spinning? And is it something that you're going to get dizzy with? I just have no idea what the hell this is.
No,
but not because you're going in circles.
It's think like Peloton bikes.
Oh, it's a biking thing. Okay.
It's a biking thing. It's not expensive branding. It's literally you're on a bike. Think mountain bike with variable resistance. And most of it is a lower body and core workout.
Okay.
And when I was having issues with my shoulder, it was great because it was very easy to modify to have all of the cardio and not have any pressure on my shoulders.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm a weirdo that sings along to the music during the workout.
That's totally valid. One of the things that I'm thinking about doing to get more productivity out when I have the days, like tomorrow, I've got nothing going on. I know that I will have the entire day without an interruption. Maybe half of my days are days without interruption. But instead of trying to just do a chapter, I'll do three sessions tomorrow and write a chapter, edit that chapter, write the next chapter, and then the next time I come in, I'll edit that. If I can do it in sessions and add another session to what I'm doing, maybe I can increase my productivity a little bit. But even, you know, I really should feel bad about this, because even with me complaining about how much I'm not getting done, having taken this time off, I'm still going to finish this entire novel in less than 60 days. So I really don't have a whole lot of room to complain, but I want more.
I get that. I totally get that. Because
well, then get off your bitch ass and make it happen.
Everybody has standards for what, you know, what is productive, what is not productive, what is acceptable for us and what's, you know, not acceptable for us, but totally acceptable for the other person. So I get that. And I mean, granted, in a former life, I spent way too many hours advising students on how to chunk up time to do big projects and maintain things. So working in 30-minute increments and taking a 5-minute break. So which can be helpful, but that solves a different problem. It's not a problem you have. You can sit and work for 5-6 hours straight and not have an issue. You want to, it's like, can I sit uninterrupted? That strategy is more for people who get easily distracted. And then, there's easily distracted. It's focusing time on task. And then 5 minutes, you figure out what you can take care of. And then 5 minutes are up, you put your butt back in the chair and keep working.
I used to go ahead and write to the clock. I would set a timer and I would write that amount of time. And I fell into the thing of not wanting to write more than a certain number of sessions at a time. And that limited my word count. So I did away with the clock so that I could say, I'm writing a chapter. It's an increment. I can do this increment. And I'm more productive, I think, focusing on the by the chapter than I was focusing on the clock. But I've experimented with it. I used that for years. It's weirdly, this is trying to find a way to use my own idiosyncrasies in a way that's productive.
What time of day are you most productive?
In the morning.
Okay.
Afternoons, not so much.
Myopia, nearsightedness, lack of imagination, foresight, or intellectual insight.
Man, look at that trash he's talking about me.
Narrow in perspective and without concern for broader implications.
Yes. So what I would say is, and you guys giving me shit about the meaning of the word, you fuckers, there is, it's you just basically told us what you need to do.
Yeah, but how am I going to make it work with this stupid... Let me give you an example of my usual week, okay? I say I'd like to have that time there. Suddenly, I've got, during the week, 4 different appointments I've got to take the wife to because she's disabled, and that's the way that works. And it's never, like, I keep going, oh, please set your appointments for, like, after 3 o'clock, please. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Then there's cats and other household emergencies and things that have to be done. Life is getting in my way. If only there wasn't an outside world.
So, I might have some experience with this.
I believe you may. That's why I said in the Discord, I said, I'm here to listen to all the answers because you must have them by now.
I don't have all the answers, but what I can say is I make time to plan out my week. And for me, like I have another example of Veronica's handwriting, because who doesn't love an episode of that? So I do kind of like a modified bullet journal because I like to sit and doodle. And I literally put together a whole week. But I also keep my email calendar. And on any given day right now, I have to juggle 5 separate calendars. I have to, there's mine, There's the academic calendar for the Professional Audiobook Narrators Association. There's the Mighty Gingers calendar. And then there's Two Kids. And I have learned that there are just some times I have to block out. And there's some times where I know that I'm not productive. I'm not a pleasant person. Or I should not be doing certain tasks at certain times of the day. Mornings are great. However, all of the exercise classes I like are in the mornings. But I'm going to be a nicer person if I go work out. So, while I could be more productive if I started at 8 o'clock and maybe didn't have to drive children to school, it's okay. I now learn that my day has to start at like 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock after all of the other things have happened. And I know that after 3:30, there's another block. Stuff can't happen. As far as appointments go, I still try to keep a day or two when, like, there are no appointment dates. So, okay. It's me. Right. So Chris said I could wake up at 4 to do my writing. I could. And I do go to bed at 10 almost every night. Pretty regular. I mean, 10 o'clock is that pumpkin time where I just go fall over and crash. However, getting up earlier is getting up earlier than 6 o'clock is detrimental to my health. Like, and I say that I know it sounds weird or it sounds facetious, but it's too stressful. And it will counter all of the other things that I'm trying to do to stay healthy. You have to have a certain amount of sleep to maintain your emotional and
mental. You would have never made it through the dot-coms. You would never have survived.
Okay, screw you. I went to high school where my first class started at 6:45. So my ass was up at 5 a.m. from the time I was in ninth grade until 12th grade. And I took, I think 10, at least 8 AP classes. And 2 of the classes that I took are now AP classes. And I did college level research for 2 of those years. So, oh, trust me. And I had like 4 hours of homework. So between the ages of 14 and 17, I was doing all that and running on 4 hours of sleep and babysitting and dealing with all sorts of shenanigans. Was I healthy? Fuck no.
I was doing 16 to 20 hour days for about 8 months.
And look how well you've recovered from
it. Oh, dude, I don't think I ever recovered from that. Everything else has just been me in a stupor.
That's pretty much what I was implying.
That's when I swore I would never kill myself again to make some fucker rich who was just going to get you laid off anyway.
Really bad. But figure out the times when you're productive and know the times that you're not productive. And then if you can set aside as much non-negotiable day as you can.
Yeah.
Like and have appointments on those, like, you know, maybe Tuesdays and Thursdays are appointment days.
Oh gosh. If maybe. Only it was so simple. Oh my gosh.
You just basically have to do what you can with what you got. You have no control over the life that intrudes upon life. Just can't.
Donna is disabled. She has a lot of doctor's appointments she goes to, and she is not allowed to drive. So me going is not an optional thing. I'm her mode of transport to get there.
Yeah.
When I was in the Army years and years and decades ago, I got up before 6 o'clock every morning. And I certainly am very cognizant of getting up early to do the job. But I'm not productive if I get up that early. I experimented with waking up from 9 o'clock to 8 o'clock, and it just disrupted my day. It was not helpful. That extra hour did not help me in any way, form, or fashion. Between waking up at 9 o'clock and trying to wrap up what I'm doing by 3 o'clock, those are my productive, creative hours. if I try to, I say, oh, I could just write in the afternoon, evening. No, no, it just does not work out for me. I still manage to write 5 or 6 books a year. So this is, you know, me crying about something that, is.
You're such a wuss. Just shut the fuck up. I know, collect, right? Cash your checks. It's just shut the hell up.
It's taken me years to get to this level of productivity. But I would like to be a little bit this. I guess this episode is me just bitching that I can't have what I want.
You're publicly flagellating yourself to us that you're not productive enough, even though you're writing more books than either of us combined and getting more of that shit out there. So exactly what are you doing apart from rubbing our noses in the fact that, oh, I'm just not productive enough. I wish it was like you lowly peasants down there who only do 2 or 3 books a year. Oh, woe is me.
I don't know why you keep saying I have public flatulence.
I did not say flatulence.
It sure sounded like it.
Flagellation.
You tried to say it, but it didn't quite come out that way.
I think you're wrong on that, Bubba.
For those of you who are listening or watching this later, please rewind and check, and then let us know in the Facebook group or in Discord. Inquiring minds.
Oh, I'll see it when I go back and edit this. I'll hear it.
Oh, but I want them to tease you about it.
Fuck them. Well, like, they're going to even look.
Okay, chat, why don't you tell us, did you hear flagellation or did you hear flatulence? Come on, we need to know. Hang on, gotta agree with Terry. See above. There we go. Matt's on my side.
I think the issue just became TV.
Seriously though. In a way, mean, while this is about helping other people figure out how to juggle their lives around, it's taken me a decade as a writer to get myself in as much order as I have, and it has not been easy making order out of chaos. It really hasn't been. So while I would definitely like to improve a little bit, I'm still basically writing a novel in 45 to 60 days. So I can't complain. Would I like to write more? I sure would, but I'm not going to really complain about it. I wish I could get more order in my life.
You're complaining about it.
I'm a little bit OCD, and having so much chaos in my creative life is not fun for me.
I totally get that. I really do. Because on days where, because I'll track if I've recorded stuff or if I've, you know, worked through my outline, then yes, it's productive, but there's a difference between being productive and feeling productive.
Yeah.
And you can have all of the documentation that, yeah, you did something, but if you don't feel good about it, then it's still like, oh, I suck. So yeah, I do.
It took me 2 hours to go through and do something the other day. And I was like, this is such a waste of time. No, it had to get done. It was, and it took 2 hours. I hated doing it, and it took as long as it took, and I had to get done.
Yeah.
Cut yourself a break. The shit has to get done, and if it takes longer than you think it does, which life usually does, life doesn't often cut you a break. No. So,
and life happens in stages. One of the most difficult things for me to deal with, and I've had to deal with it in the past, I'm going to keep dealing with it, is the constraints on my time are largely because of responsibilities I have to other people. And when I first went full time, I was like, oh my gosh, I've got to travel. I've got to do all this. I've got to record, you know, 20 hours a week and all this. And the mighty Ginger went, you can't do that. I'm like, why not? Then it's not full time. Then I'm slacking. He's like, no, you're not slacking. There are other things that have to go on. And for those of us who have partners that we support and they are supporting us in our creative ventures, there's a give and take. And yeah, sure, there may be some days where I'm like, I barely did any of my work at all. But if I'm, you know, keeping the minions alive and making sure that they're getting to where they need to be, or they're able to do what they need to do, or, you know, that they're realizing their goals and I'm helping them do that, so that in a couple years when they're out of the house, yeah, they're going to be on an upward trend and I'm going to have a little more time. I'm probably going to have more gray in my hair at that point. I'll have to updo my headshots.
But... Hey, you trying to say there's something wrong with having some gray hair? What are you trying to say there? Well, there's something wrong with that hair. You get that monk
I'm
thing about to happen.
I'm saying that in this, at this current time, you know, I was going through my wedding pictures yesterday for my anniversary and I'm like, I have a lot of gray in my hair right now. And it just looks, look tired. Like, I've seen both my parents. My parents have awesome, like, white, gray, like, Storm X-Men looking hair.
Oh, wrong one. Sorry.
Really?
I hit the wrong one.
Why?
Sorry.
Why did you handle me? Why?
I didn't handle you. I tarried you, unfortunately, because I was trying to tarry Terry. Who types because he sounds like a machine gun. My apologies.
Yeah. So, yeah, I just... it's similarly, I can't deal with just a little gray. It has to be all gray or none.
Okay. Basically, what you're telling me is you two are telling me that you both need psychiatric help at this point because your OCD is really getting on top of you.
Scorpios work in absolutes. Shush.
No, see, this is bullshit. This is predestination bullshit.
You see, this is where you're outnumbered because we're Scorpios and you're not. So there.
His ass is a cat. Wait, when's your birth?
November 2nd.
No, his.
Oh, December
22nd. December, isn't it?
December 22nd.
Oh, God, Capricorn.
No. I'm basically a cusp. I'm a solstice baby.
That's plenty of sense. Anyway.
Run away! All right, fine. So we really solved the problem that it's not really a problem that we have to problem, you know, never mind.
Oh, Brett, we can. Yes, there are probably many, many issues with that, but.
Matt says, hang on, OCD is the only reason I can do my job. It's just learning what parts of the OCD to allow in. Yes, there's a certain amount of OCD is great when it starts affecting your life in negative ways. Then it's not so good.
Yeah,
I need to be the monk of writing, you know, where everything is, you know, a huge crisis. Is that what I need? Is that what?
I wouldn't call that a monk. God, what character is that?
That's monk. Everything.
Oh, I'm sorry. You meant detective monk. I was going to 1400s Catholic monster.
No, I was not.
He was going pop culture.
I'm going pop culture here.
Jeez. You understand the confusion, right?
I should totally go ahead and make a short little video of me being like the OCD monk writer and, you know, all these things that I have to do to write, you know, put it out like actual advice. This is the only way that a real all kinds of horrible things. Yeah.
It's just you sitting there.
You have to put the cat in the right order.
Writing place. Oh, I can't write if the cat's not right there. Got to move the cat back to its spot.
Then every few seconds you have to vacuum your keyboard.
Some like little rituals are good because they get you into the mindset of what you need to do. But if you over ritualize it or have to make the situation totally perfect, then it's detrimental. And so it's
I have a writing ritual.
Yeah.
I have one writing ritual that I allow myself.
Coffee?
I burn a candle when I'm writing.
Oh, that's that is very good.
I burn corpses.
I should be like this. The writing light is on. Stop bugging me.
Wow. I would love to be able to put a writing light over this door and have the pets respect it. The livery people respect it. The wife respect it. The fucking house respect it.
Writer at work. Fuck the hell off.
Yeah, pretty much. I told Kara, like, how pissed do you think the HOA is going to be if I put that out there? She's like, I think those soliciting will be fine. I really just want a fuck off or we worship Satan. Go away.
You know,
granted, I did finally print out a sign on my door and put it there. But what does it say?
Rick says,
exactly, Rick.
Rick says, then wipe it down with an alcohol wipe. I'm not sure if he means the candle or the cat.
You bet the keyboard. So you bet the keyboard.
I'm not exactly sure what's getting the alcohol wipe out of
what he's wiping, Rick. What?
I think he's talking about the keyboard, but I said you need to vacuum the keyboard, but it could be wrong. It's called a shock collar, Paul. Oh, God. Brett says in his hood, we worship Satan would get you more foot traffic.
Granted, my neighbor who's across the street from us on her car, I mean, she's got like,
is she a bumper sticker person?
She's a bumper sticker person, and one of her bumper stickers says, Satan loves me, in addition to all of the Demon Slayer stickers on her car. No. And she's got a cute little toddler that runs around, and we just wave to each other across the street. And I fear that if I said, I really love your car, just because I'm in Florida and I kind of have to, I worry, because I don't want to seem too social.
Oh, God forbid.
I do appreciate her car.
So what we've done is we've solved the fact that Terry doesn't really have a problem. He's just annoyed that he's not even more productive. And he's called himself out on the podcast for not being more productive.
I'll acknowledge that he does have a short-term problem and that he wants to figure out how to modify the preferred routine for these hiccups that keep coming along. And you've mentioned, you know, using your phone to write. I wonder if you've got an iPad, if you can, you know, dictate into the iPad. I don't Apple with things. I'm sorry.
I'm afraid my iPad is an iPad Mini 2.
It's basically was 2013, so the software is probably stuck in 2017.
A little old.
Okay.
But could still probably
be getting into your phone.
Yeah. But, I mean, okay. The point is that there's other ways to do it. It's just a matter of if it really gets to crunch time or whatever, you're going to have to make certain allowances and just basically make it happen. You could connect your phone straight up to your headset you're wearing right now.
And I do. It is a Bluetooth headphone, and I've done that. The key is I need to verify that I can write using the voice recognition into Word, which I believe that I can. And when she drags me out to stuff, I don't even need to take the headphone. As long as I can go ahead and just talk into the damn phone while I'm waiting for her, I can sit out in the truck and maybe be a little bit more productive than the way it is. It's just I hate distractions. I want to be the guy that, you know, why can't I be the Unabomber? I need to be Ted Kaczynski, living out in the woods, writing my manifesto, but I'll go ahead and I won't actually mail bombs to people because that's bad.
No, you'll do something worse. You'll mail ideas.
Ooh. Mail just books. Pick a random address somewhere and drop an idea in the mail to them. Is that what you're suggesting?
Congress certainly needs one. Yeah, if you could use the basic editor and mail it to yourself. I had a Crackberry once upon a time, and I used to text myself messages all the fucking time that would go and put in to writing when I first started going back to it again. So, yeah.
Way, way, way back in the day when I worked at the shipyard and I was starting writing, I had a big old notebook and I would probably, it's like every hardest time to spend papers.
They're gonna wake up on Christmas Day and be like paperbacks and everybody. So we're like, the fuck is this shit? Get a cease and desist order from the HOA.
Well, you know, that brings a different question to mind.
Uh oh.
This is definitely a writer question, but it's not related to what we've been talking about. We're dealing with the city and them trying to dump adoptable friendly cats on the street as part of the what should be the feral program of trap, neuter, and release. But they have been taking adoptable friendly cats and dumping them as well. And so we're fighting to get that changed. And the mayor of the town, know, he feels like he's working against this. He feels like he's playing politics with these animals' lives. And my wife has suggested, you should just go ahead and make him a bad guy in your book. And I'm like, yeah, that's how lawsuits happen.
No.
But I was like, you know, maybe I could change the name enough, you know, do this. I don't know.
Technically, you don't even have to do that. If you just say the so-and-so, give a you don't have to say their name. Just call them the governor, the mayor, whatever. And not even give them a last name. But maybe some of the mannerisms or some of the physical features. Not a
or
problem.
Or just make him a corpse that gets eaten by cats.
That's worthwhile. But I'm actually thinking of making him the bad guy for the next series so he'd have to last 15 books.
Oh, God, why would you
do that?
Do you
want to write about him for 15 books?
I don't really, but the wife said, you should do this. I'm like, oh, no. I was originally going to go ahead and rename Ken Paxton so he would be the bad guy.
No comment. I think really interesting that there are two authors who happen to live in Houston who are both trying to feature members of the Texas government in their books.
Yes, but yours will be eaten and gone in like 3 pages.
You want to come do that in my state? I'd be really happy.
There's ways that you can get taken, and then there are ways you can get taken.
Now, the wife has suggested I give the villain this like teacup dog that's really vicious. The thing about this big.
What's the dog from Dr. Evil or whatever the fuck?
It was a cat.
It's a cat. Yeah, cat.
It was a hairless cat.
It's a hairless cat. Okay, who had the Chihuahua? There was some parody that had the Chihuahua, a Chihuahua instead
of
a cat.
But, the one thing that always
is that
gets me was from the Blade movies. That the one that had Triple H as one of the vampires, and he had the Pomeranian, and he was making kissy faces to the Pomeranian,
yeah.
And then like the Demogorgon split.
Rick says the only problem now is that there's now recorded evidence. I'm probably not going to do it in any case, but you know, I could really think about it.
Mr. Bigglesworth was the hairless cat. Oh, that's right, but he started out as a Persian. What?
Yep.
I forgot about that.
And then
that.
Mustafa screwed up and he got, I'm just badly burned. Please, someone.
This is so sad. So sad. So sad.
Yeah, it's just a warning to other writers that, you know, as tempting as it may be to go ahead and insert somebody that's causing
there
you grief
are
in your
limits.
Life into the books, you probably should refrain from actually doing so.
I'm too late.
I won't.
So I could name my bad guy Warren Paxton Long.
Huey Paxton Long.
Yeah. I'm not actually going to name it after either one because I don't actually want to get sued. So, yeah, there is that.
Yeah, like William says, he's a public figure. Fuck him.
Yeah, well. Oh, there we go. That's a good one.
Long Duck Talk. God damn it. There's no hope. There's no hope. So,
switch
topics for 1 second. We did get asked in Discord about an old episode. From number 570, if I remember correctly.
That was only like five years ago. 10 years ago.
Oh, I remember that one.
So basically the question was, or that particular topic was, what have we learned about writing series since then? So yeah, this was almost 60 episodes ago.
I've written two series now that are going to end up being 15 books by the time I'm done another year. So I think I may have learned a few things.
But you haven't learned to end one yet.
Maybe.
So since we've done that, I've ended one and I'm in the process of ending the second. And so what I have learned is that last book is a fucking nightmare. What I've learned is that book is got a lot of pressure with it because it's the final stop. It's where you got to basically pull out all the big guns and let it rip. Because you got to provide that climax, and the larger the stakes, obviously, then the larger everything has to be. This book includes the most characters I've ever had to deal with. Some of them are only around for a scene, and I have at least 7 or 8 of those so far, and I'm going to have to put in probably 10 to 12 more. And it is a large amount of stuff to keep track with, but it's the only way to show you everything is going on that you would not otherwise know had happened. So I have to have these throwaways, and I'm writing those scenes as fast as I can. And sometimes they're fun. Sometimes they're just like, this is no name character. I just need them to see this. I need 4 paragraphs. Here it is. Got to come up with all the shit for that. It is a lot of things to think about. And like I said, it's a lot of pressure. So this one is tough, and Trident was really tough too. But I think it's only tough because you're trying to find the right way to end it for you, the way you want to see the story end and not be a cop out.
You got to stick the landing.
And landings are difficult to stick. So I'm doing the best I can with this one, but I always worry it's not going to be enough. But we'll see when we get there with this one, if I get it right. Brett says, do you think it is easier to write a series the deeper you get into it? Like, is book 13 easier than book 6?
Not in my experience.
I think it depends on the kind of series. Because if you have a series like the ones that both of you write, where it's continuing the story with the same characters, and mm-hmm. each book may be wrapping up smaller arcs, but you have an overarching arc that you're covering in that series.
Look at the size of her arc.
She's walking around in public with that arc. Has the woman no shame?
That's a huge arch she's got. Anyway, continue. Oh, Paul derails things again. Sorry. Yes, if you have a massive arc.
Anyway, right. Then you're hitting that promise at the end, and you're having a bigger buildup. Whereas if you are writing a more episodic series where you have a single setting, but you have new characters featured every book, then I think it might be easier because you can do callback to earlier books, and you're not necessarily continuing a bigger theme or a bigger arc.
I wrote An Ancient Trap really fast. I wrote Station 3 pretty quickly once I got really into it and life got out of the way. And those were easier to write because they're one-offs. I didn't have any mythology to deal with. I didn't have any set expectations. It was let's go. We're building a whole new universe for the space of 300 pages. That's what we're doing. Or however long the story needs to be. There was no expectations. It was something new, something that didn't have any kind of history associated with it. Whereas if you go into The Black, if you go into Derelict, if you go into Garaga, you have those expectations of what those books are going to have. You already have, if you've read one, you already know what you're getting with the others. And that means I have certain expectations I have to live up to. If it's a single book, don't have that problem. And if you're starting a series, you don't have that problem. It's only when you start getting into the middle of the series where you got all this junk hanging off you that some of the books get a little more difficult to write, at least in my experience. And it just depends on what you're doing. Terry's very episodic. The episodic books that I've written for the Black series, like Arrival, Outbreak, Evolution, and especially, my God, I'm losing my mind. Especially the one that takes place in PNG, it's Oceania. Those were just like, there was so much mythology I didn't have to deal anything with. Evolution was a pain in the ass because I had to bring all the characters together, and it had the most baggage I was trying to incorporate as one piece. But the others were all like standalones. It was just the way I ended up writing the series. And that makes things a little bit different. But it was fun. But I like writing those solos are a lot of fun to write because of that reason. It's just take the reader on a ride with no expectations and just move. So that's where I am at with that. Somebody asked, if a series is selling, why would you stop?
Because there is burnout. if you go ahead and you have a series that goes on for seeming forever, somebody's going to come to the series. You're going to start finding people going, I don't have the time to commit to this series. And it will start scaring people off. Believe it or not, it's true.
I'll give you a perfect example. I have two, actually. Derelict. Can't go on. It has to stop. You know, once I made the decision to do a certain thing in book three, it could really no longer be called the Derelict Saga. It had to be called something else. And that was an arc that encapsulated like three or four different arcs, and that arc was supposed to end. So the series, the overarching series, is Soul and Beyond. Derelict Saga is just a part of it, planned part of it. We'll see how that works out. But it has to end. And the same with the Black. There's only so many stakes I can have before you run out of shit to do. And I got a complaint in Trident. It was like, oh my God, we're at another abandoned thing. And I was like, yeah, that's the problem. How many times can I keep doing this? We can't. We have to start encountering people. We have to start encountering enemies. We have to start encountering stuff. This is not the series for that. That is Neptune Scars. That is this other series that's going to have a lot more action to it because we've established all that bullshit. We're done with all of that. We've said what we needed to say about all of this. We set the stage. We know who the enemy really is, we think. And now we can go do other stuff like defend the solar system, right? That's a different series. The Black has to fucking end. It just has to end, period. Because there's only two things that can happen. They either eradicate the monster or the monster eradicates Earth. That's pretty much the stakes. It has to fucking end. You can't keep chasing it. And it would stop being fun. There's only so much you can do with it. And once it gets into a populated area, you're fucked. You'll never get control of it without dropping a nuke. So where do you go from there? You can't. There's no there to go to. So it has to end. And the rest of my series don't have a central character except for Tony Downs, so they can continue on forever because there is no end. I can write as many Garaga books as I want because there's no main character ever. Those would be episodic, and if I get to a main character like Colette, if I write about her in the French Revolution, the Irish exile, and then coming west to the United States, those would all be under the Garaga series, but there would be separate series underneath, and each of those would have to end because it comes to an end of a time of her history, right? So there's a lot of reasons why a series may end or why it may only be one or two books. There's only so many places you can go with the same plot conceit before people just go, and you, fuck this, I'm done. I can't do this again. I can't fight the goddamn Daleks again. Nobody gives a shit.
Exterminate.
So, you know, I'm done.
Yeah, you have to know when to stop. When you are no longer doing the story or the characters justice.
And I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be the person who hangs around too long. I would rather leave you wanting more than leave you going, why the fuck did I read this? Williams West says, Discworld works well because you don't need to go in order or worry about series follow through. Exactly. And that was what's so great about the first three Black books. Especially. And even book five. So, maybe that was just an odd series and nothing else I write is going to ever be like that. But that was what made it work the way I like it to work. I think that's why people enjoyed it, because they can start anywhere, pretty much. So, does that answer the question, I hope? So, apart from that, we do have a little bit of news about the writer's strike.
We do?
Yeah. It's over. And one little thing that was really interesting that I read about today that I did not understand is they got basically all the companies to admit that AI cannot write, cannot be given credit, and cannot produce literature, and therefore they are required to investigate the providence of any script that comes their way.
So good luck with actually making them do that.
Yeah, I know, but they've at least got them on record saying we can't use that. We won't use that. So that's about as far as you can get. Whereas Google will simply say, like, for instance, with all your Gmail shit, oh, we're just going to scrape it and throw it into Bard, and you have no choice but to either quit Google or let us do it.
Yeah, you'll notice they don't say don't be evil anymore. It's been years now since they've said that.
That was called when they went public. You know, when you get shitbag investors involved in Wall Street, all hell breaks loose. But I'm not jaded. Anyway, that's pretty much all we've got today. If you've got a comment about this show or question, you can send an email to show@dibrobotsociety.com. You can find me at paul_e_cooley at vyrse.social on Mastodon. You can find us on Facebook, the listeners of the Dead Robot Society Facebook group, where Terry mangles all the madness. You can find us on YouTube, youtube.com/DRS podcast, to see way too many cats and participate in chat. And join us every Saturday at 3 p.m. Central Standard Time. Like and subscribe, and you'll never miss an episode. And if you want to support the show, you can find us at patreon.com/DRS podcast and buymeacoffee.com/DRS podcast, where for as little as $1 a month, you get access to exclusive live content like DRS After Dark, which is coming up in 10 minutes. And at the $10 level, you get your name read, or would, if a certain cat hadn't just closed the browser tab.
And see, without thumbs, that's impressive.
Just because, he wiped out an entire chapter the other day. Luckily, there's an undo. He's not dead yet, but it was close. And our $10 patrons are Tony L. Joy, Lisa Slack, Isabel Cushy, and Tim Meteorider. Thank you to all of our patrons for making this show possible. So, oh God, if y'all are on the East Coast and getting hammered with rain, take care, be safe. Hope all is well. Or you could be down here in drought land. There's just rain. No good place
what's
to be.
What's that?
Yeah, rain, what's that? Anyway, y'all stay safe. All right, folks, thanks for joining us and hanging out with us and spending time with us. And thanks for participating in chat. And we will see you next week. Until then, hubba, hubba.